Welcome to the new media show.
We're back.
Doing the new media show again.
People are actually going to listen to this junk.
We do it live?
We're live right now.
We'll just do it live.
We're going live.
We're going live.
We just can't get enough. The new media show.
Let's go.
Just do it live.
We're going live.
We're going live.
Bada bing, bada boom.
The new media show.
We do it live.
Just do it live.
We're going live.
We're going live.
We're going live.
The new media show. I'm like Adam Curry, and you're more like John C. Dvorak.
I think I am Adam Curry, and you're the old curmudgeon.
We do it live. Doing the new media show again.
The new media show.
Technology.
We make it sound so special. And yes, we are live and lit with new podcast apps from podcastapps.com. Grab yourself one of those finagled podcasting apps. You can watch us live, and you can listen live, and you can see us live just about everywhere it's possible to consume a video podcast. Rob?
That is true, Don. That is an accurate statement that you have made today.
Indeed. And matter of fact, I was said, let's go. And I went over and almost pushed the button, and you would have not gotten a stream because I had the max destination set in my Restream dashboard, and it would have went the wrong way. So I clicked the right button.
Well, here, let me see if it's there.
It should be there. So, you know, you should be good.
It's there.
Yeah. So,
yeah.
Hey, everybody, welcome to the show, and happy Wednesday to you.
Hump day, right?
Oh, man. You know, I'm back to the point again. You know, AI took me a year not needing assistant, but I'm right at the edge again. I'm at the point now where I might actually have to hire somebody. And the thing is, I'm thinking in my head, if I hire someone to be my assistant, it's going to take me 6 months to train them. And
yeah, because they probably haven't done all the AI research and the other thing.
Well, it's just everything. And I'm thinking, where do I put them if I do?
Right.
Do I hire someone local, or do I, you know, I don't know. We will see. you know, but yeah, my head has been underwater for literally the last week and a half. Yeah, I got home last night about 8:30, and my mom texted me, "Oh, did you stop for dinner?" I said, "No, I didn't leave the office until 8:15 last night." So, yeah, I mean, that's what you do, right? When you when you got too much to do, you just stay and work longer. But no one cares. Everyone's working hard. So
yeah. That's right. Well, especially now, people are really concentrating and working hard now because of just the tight market that we're in right now. But it looks to me like things aren't so tight over at Spotify right now, though.
Well, okay. Well, here's the thing. Spotify made some money.
Yeah.
You know, and we all saw the IB news where they are not going to be certified anymore. And by the word, there is no such word as IAB compliant. That's not even supposed to be utilized. And I wish, you know, that's a whole topic in itself. But James claims that I used IAB compliant in 2018, and maybe I did, but it was, you know, while we were being certified.
Well, but isn't that the terminology that the IAB uses, though?
No, IAB certified. Is
their artwork, though, it says compliance.
Yeah. So whatever the logo says is what we're.
It's always been a very confusing
thing. The official word, and I guess I should go over and look and actually see. So whatever, we are IAB certified compliant.
And in some ways, you know, if you look at what Spotify has chosen to do here, and even Podbean has chosen to do this too, it kind of plays into that narrative, doesn't it?
Well,
that we're compliant, but
what,
you know, it's,
there's two or three things at play here. Number one, IAB has changed how their membership tiering is priced. It used to be on advertising. Okay. So don't quote me.
You'll go on revenue,
on
right?
revenue, on ad, advertising on ad revenue. Revenue. I think it was right, gross.
And it's not based on that now?
Now it's switched to your revenue, corporate revenue.
Oh, overall revenue.
Yeah, overall revenue. So that takes us all, I think, this next year. This year, I think we paid the same amount. I think whatever that number, I know what the number is. I'm not going to announce it. But next year, depending on your revenue, mm-hmm. Your costs will go up just to maintain membership. And then they brought the cost down on recertification. So again, don't quote me what the recert cost is. And I don't know if they I think they've got it publicly published, but it's lower than it's ever been. So in other words, they lowered the recertification cost. Now, right. We had just, matter of fact, late last week or even, I don't know, I had sent the tech lab a message, hey, send the paperwork over. We want to get started on our recert. And then, of course, this news comes out that Spotify, Chartable,
Megaphone,
Podbean.
And Spotify for podcasters. Yeah, so that is quite a group of companies inside of Spotify that are no longer going to be considered to be, I guess, certified compliant.
So here's the thing to look at on the Spotify side is that you have probably better metrics internally because it's all being done via the app. They can track on the privacy side. They know who you are. They know they, and this is why I've never been a fan of Spotify is, you know, they know everything about you. Yeah. Because you've signed into the account they have client side data that they can use that are probably better than any podcast host is going to be able to provide because we don't have no client side data or apps. You know, basically we have to still use raw download files where anything that's being consumed on Spotify is tracked all the way through. So I'm sure then for Megaphone, it probably has minimal impact. Chartable, well, they lose their ability to say they're certified, or whatever this official term we're supposed to use.
Right.
And so in the end, what does that mean? Now, if I look at it from Podbean's perspective, if Podbean's not doing a lot of advertising on their own, then they can rely on PodTrack or Blueberry or whoever. Well, actually, it can't because you can't use a third-party stats in Podbean. So the people that get screwed on Podbean are really the ones that are doing their own deals. So those podcasters are doing their own ad deals at Podbean probably will have to look for a new home. If they want, if the buyer raises questions about their statistics, which they probably will because, you know, it's a question that's asked all the time.
Yeah, isn't it kind of a thing that will be impactful over a period of time? I would imagine because they're likely to be IAB v2.1 kind of compliant, right?
Well, when was the last time? I don't know what their last level of certification is. So,
yeah, I'm not sure either.
So, you know, regardless, they're being dropped. They're not on the list. They can say what they want, but it's up to the IAB to determine if they want to come over and say, you can't say that.
Yeah, but if let's say one of these companies exports their metrics, right, and they show it to an advertiser, currently, today, pretty much the advertiser is probably going to trust those numbers because it is that company was formally certified, right? So it's not maybe. Like their numbers... Maybe over time, what'll happen is that the numbers will be, I guess, higher than they should be. That's kind of what happens here, right? Is it as the standard gets more and more refined, I would think that the numbers may drop, right?
I think if you look at the update, there's probably not that many more technical requirements between what was and what is. So, you know, that is what it is, but it's really truly, you know, but to be honest with you, everyone's touching code all the time.
Yeah.
And if you touch any of your code,
you could be out of certification,
you know?
Right.
So, you know, if you say I haven't touched code, they might be all right. I think it's a bigger issue long term.
I would agree with
people
that.
Making a lot of a noise about it right now. You know, oh, looky here. I don't necessarily know if I'm surprised. I don't ever remember. I can't say who was ever in any of the standards meetings. So, And yeah. usually those are well attended. There's usually 30, 40 people in those standards meetings that are in there. I've missed a couple here recently. So I have no insight to some of the stuff that's been said of recent just because I had schedule conflicts. But the, you know, so we're going to go through the gauntlet and run the recertification. I'm going to look at it. I'll keep looking at it from year to year because there is a trade-off. You know, today, matter of fact, it's a press release is going out tomorrow, but we announced in our newsletter today that Blueberry did a partnership with Backbeat Media. And Backbeat Media is going to be our new representative for HostRed advertising.
Oh,
so select Blueberry podcasters is, you know, Dave and his team over there are going to be repping Blueberry inventory. I have another deal in progress as well. We're going to try to get as many of our podcasters have the ability to be involved in HostRed ads. It's not something that we specialize in anymore. So from my perspective, and working with Dave and them generating revenue for our podcasters, I have to stay certified because if Dave is going to rep the podcasters that are at blueberry.com, I have to be able to provide him, and actually it's not me, the podcaster will create an account and let Dave's team come in to look at stats. So we're essentially, you know, we have to keep our platform certified. Because otherwise, then in there, we don't need no questions being asked on any data. So, you know, I'm confident where we're at, and we'll go through the gauntlet again and get recertified. But I'm just wondering if the Spotify decision had anything to do. And it, but they said they may come back next year, which was weird. So I don't know. But it means they dropped their membership this year. They didn't pay their dues. And,
but they did say in a statement that they would continue to support the IAB and their mission and all this kind of stuff.
Yeah, but so, they're not writing a check.
But that's
right.
That's easy to say when you're not paying anything.
That's right. Yeah. So again, it's, you know, it's up to IAB to come up with their own statement and defend whatever is the issue here. But I think it plays badly for Megaphone the worst. We move a lot of pot. Matter of fact, I had two meetings this week, major, big networks, 100 plus shows each that are basically going to move to Blueberry. They're moving off Megaphone.
Well, Todd, I would imagine that that fee that you mentioned about a percentage of gross revenue as the membership fee was probably a big. It was probably okay when they were doing it when it was just advertising revenue.
But I bet you their bill was still massive.
Well, yeah. But now that you've thrown in to the mix gross revenue of the total company, that probably maybe close to doubled it or more. So that may be a little bit of a reason here. And it looks like, you know, even on the advertising side, Spotify is considered to be the largest global digital audio advertising company.
So
second only, I mean, first, and then second is the Sirius XM folks and then iHeart and then Cumulus and then Odyssey and then Acast kind of brings to the bottom. And it does look like that Libsyn just recertified under the IAB podcast measurement guidelines to V2.1.
Okay.
Which Spotify was already certified at 2.1. So that may be a little bit of an answer there too.
So maybe I might be wrong. So the IAB board approved a new rate card for 2025. Information regarding that was sent out in 2023. All members will be required to report their 2023 digital revenue to calculate 2025 dues. The rate card for non-agency or all the members. So let me see if I can find that. If they have this, okay, IAB 2025, all other dues rate card, domestic revenue, $0 to $7 million, $12,000. And if you are 8 to 15.
If you're a non-member, it's more expensive.
Well, right. This is for renewals. Annual domestic digital revenue measurement estimated dues for 2025. So let me show this on the chart.
Well,
so,
what's also interesting, Todd, is that it does appear that the IAB has a certification non-member.
Oh, they do. Absolutely.
We option.
Know. Yeah, they do.
As well. So yeah. this pulling back from even being a member of the IAB is really more significant than the certification cost.
Yeah.
The certification cost is what for non-members is about $17,000.
But if you're a member, then the math all math works out. And does it list it on the site? I don't know if it listed on there.
What's that?
The membership renewal cost.
Oh, no, I don't see that.
Yeah, I don't see, again.
I only see the certification cost.
I have to be careful. Does it say IB member costs for certification or renewal?
Correct. It's, if you're a member, it's $12,500.
For initial.
For the first one, and then a renewal is only $62.50.
Yeah. Okay, so if it's publicly on there, I can say it. I knew what the number was. I just didn't want to say it because I couldn't remember if that number was public. So if you think about a $12,000 membership.
For new, but they're not new.
No. Let's say you are a new member, or right. If your certification lapses, you have to get another initial. So let's say you're at the base level of $12,000 a year for a membership, and right. The renewal fee is $62.50. So you're in for $18,500 a year just to be part of the IB and to participate in the forums and to get certified. This is going forward. It's an $18,500 ding, 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 ding every year because the renewals, recertifications are going to be required every year after this year. So you have to, going forth, every renewal, you have to renew annually after this year, starting this year. So next year, I'll have to pay another $62.50. Following year, another $62.50. Following year, another $62.50 plus my membership fee. Are you there? You froze up. Oh, that's weird. Rob kind of froze on me here. We'll see if he comes back. Oh, you froze for a second, Rob.
Oh, I did. Yeah.
Yeah. So go ahead.
So I think the membership side is really what's significant here.
Potentially. So whatever. I don't know what they announced in their revenue, but if you're $1.3 billion to $2.49 billion, your membership fee per year is $350,000, $2.5 billion plus $550,000. I don't know what they announced there. I didn't look at their earnings report.
Their numbers?
Yeah. Again, annual domestic revenue is for the going forward in 2025. So a company like Libsyn is probably at the $20,000. 16 to 74 million, they're probably paying $20,000 a year in annual domestic revenue, annual domestic digital revenue. So this is, it's weird how they followed it. And there'll be an annual increase as well. So again, it's a lot of money to be certified. And,
especially for a company like Spotify.
Yeah.
I mean, with the kind of revenues that they have, that's a big check they have to write every year.
So for us, if I'm not, I don't know where we're going to fall if we're not doing, because, we have two partners now. If I'm not doing any other ad sales, I might fall in, I don't know what I'm going to fall into. But long story short, it's a minimum $18,500 to be a member and to be recertified, or $18,250.
Yeah.
So if you're non-member, you're only saving $1,250. Is that what the recertification is for a non-member? What's a non-member recertification?
$1,750.
That's for non-member, $17,500.
Yep.
So see, you either pay to be a member and participate and have a discussion, or you pay $1,250 less and don't to have a seat at the table to have. So they've made it nearly impossible for anyone to, it's dumb to not be a member, especially if you want to see at the table. So we will see this year. It's going to be a question.
Yeah. I just think it's much bigger. It's not like Spotify can't afford it.
No, but it's a big check.
It is a big check, and it's all about the gross revenues. If that's what's going on,
and if they don't need it, and if they've got most of the data inside, I think I think who's going to be hurt the most is Megaphone and Chartable.
Over time, but not right away. Yeah. I would say that they're probably going to get hurt probably after 6 months or so.
We'll see.
Once the standard or the certification goes up to version 2.2 or 2.3 or wherever we're at.
Yeah. Well, again, it doesn't matter what version we're on. You have to be recertified annually.
Yeah, because it appears that Captivate and Buzzsprout were last certified under V2.0 back in 2020.
Right.
So
it's been 2 years for us, but when we recertified 2 years ago, it was largely based because we also added our redirect to get certified. So,
but it appears Captivate and Buzzsprout are both in the process of getting recertified.
I can't speak to them. Does it say that in the notes?
Yeah, it's in Pod News. Oh, is what it is.
So it's, you know, and then again, is this, I look at it every year, you know, my team, we talk about it. Should we renew? Should we continue? Is the value there? You know, and the first go round on this was crazy expensive, you know, and we did the first initial certification.
Oh, yeah, I remember
it was
that.
Insane, 26,000 or something like that yep. we spent, and we went first and we were the guinea pigs. And to be honest with you, we probably shouldn't have went first because we had the heaviest amount of scrutiny. They learned their processes from us, essentially. Mm-hmm. Us and NPR. NPR and us went at the same time. But, yep. So, you know, the IB, you know, we'll see. And I hope the IB be honest with you. My personal opinion, I think the IB shouldn't tell those companies you can't talk about any IB compliance at whatever level. You're not a member. You haven't got recertified. Sorry, you can't use. You can't even say that. But I don't know if they'll do that.
Well, there's been such a history of people saying, "Well, I'm compliant with the IAB metrics guidelines." That I don't know how they couldn't, or they could legitimately say that our metrics was formally certified recently. So,
they could probably say, we could probably say that. That there.
Yeah.
So,
which may be, as I'm saying, good enough for now.
Yeah. Exactly.
Yeah.
I could say that for sure. Yeah.
Yeah. So, you know, hopefully a year from now, grass will be greener in the podcast advertising business. But it appears that Spotify is not suffering on that side.
No.
But I can't make that statement about other people in the podcasting space. So,
you know, and what it really does and what we'll talk about the gorilla in the room. Mm-hmm. There are certain people that do not like the IAB. There are certain people that want all podcaster stats to be open on OP3. And I understand that, but again,
they're usually smaller startup companies can't afford it.
And that too. And the majority of podcasters still don't want their numbers to be public. Sometimes they're embarrassed. Sometimes they, whatever reason, don't want it. And again, we have a service available for all podcasters that they can get us, you know, basically we will validate their numbers independently if they're doing a deal with someone, if, you know, someone needs, you know, ground truth. And that's part of the deal that we did with Blackbeat Media is I said, listen, I don't want to, you're going to, the podcaster that works with you, part of the agreement is going to be is that they will allow you, Blackbeat Media, AKA, to log in and see your stats.
Mm-hmm.
And set up a sub account. And, mm-hmm. That way I'm not getting called by Dave and his team say, hey, can you look at so-and-so's? And I said, well, Dave, I have to ask the podcaster. So we're going to make that agreement set for that. The podcaster just has to give them access. And if they don't, they won't get no ad deal.
Yeah.
So, you know, I don't have time to babysit and audit. But
yeah, so we saw the Podfest folks do their AI event here over the last few days. So I don't know if you kept track of that.
I have not. Was not invited to speak, and so.
Yeah, I didn't participate either. So
I have no idea what was produced or said or who sponsored it. If it, you know, again, I can't speak to it on the level of what we did, but we've been watching our system and we're very happy so far with the results and feedback and working on our next version, but Jim says it's valuable for the industry to have a standard. Is IB perfect? I doubt it, but what really is? And, you know, and again, we go back to the politics. Rob, you were there in those battles we had in those early days.
Yeah, I was unfortunately working for one of the ones that was creating some of the problems.
Right. One of the ones, and probably the initial standards was delayed at least a year because of, well, he's dead. So we can talk about Norm.
Yeah,
now.
He's gone. Right.
You know,
right. We don't have to worry about it now.
So
right.
You know, it can't be, at least by him, maybe his estate. Right. But yeah, there was definitely mass interference by the team over there at the company you were working at.
Yeah, and it's a big reason why I wound up leaving is because it just, you know, there was too much of a battle over metrics going on.
Oh,
and I didn't agree with the philosophy that was being taken over there.
Truth be told, if he'd had his way, he'd have acquired Blueberry to shut me up.
Yeah, he kind of had that ideology, you're right, is to acquire to get rid of competitors.
Yeah, to get rid of loud voices that were standing in the way of him counting by six.
Oh, yeah. It's a little old school, old business school kind of activity.
But yeah. All I can say is there was a shredder involved.
So I got an email, and you got an email, too, from James Cridlin.
Yeah. I didn't respond, though. I've been so busy, I barely had time to read it.
Yeah. So, and I create a little bit of a dialogue with him, and it's on this brand safety, brand suitability question. I think he's challenging us to clarify a little bit on our position on this. And I also have said, you know, in Twitter and I think in Facebook, I think, or LinkedIn, one of the two, that I would invite on the CEO of Barometer on our show. So to talk about brand safety and brand suitability and at least get it from, you know, a person that's actively working in that area, get their views and get their perspectives on how this all works. And, you know, is there damage being done to content creators is kind of my bigger question on all this. And are we heading down a path towards, you know, content moderation increasingly in the podcasting space because of these kind of technologies, right? And James posts a question. So if you run advertising for, let's say, Delta Airlines, as an example, right? If you're buying podcast ads to promote Delta Airlines, would you want your ad to be aired in the middle of that news organization reporting on a plane crash?
Well, you don't have no choice in podcasting because all that's bought in advance.
Well, that was my point to James, too, was that the only way that that can be caught is either just before the episode is published, right? If it's not live. If it's live, you're probably in a difficult position to hold it back if it's breaking news or something like that.
Right.
And so it needs to be done either post-publish or just prior to publish, that the kind of filtering out of that. I guess James's point was that's been going on in the broadcast industry for, I guess, a long time.
Well, right? it's bought different.
Yeah. Well, and it's usually live.
Right.
Which is like, okay, so you have, you know that you have an ad for Delta Airlines coming up in your segment, your new segment that is basically talking about maybe a Delta Airlines airplane crash. Maybe, I guess if they're really unlucky, or it could be a different airline too, right?
Yep.
It could be a different one. So we're kind of getting into this gray area of this intersection between editorial and sponsorship and advertising.
Right.
And I think what's happening with the technology now is that now it's increasingly getting automated, right? And it's being AI driven to capture these things. And I'm not sure it's really clear that necessarily Delta would have a negative reaction on the part of a podcast listener if that program that they were advertising in was talking about a plane crash. I don't know that that is a proven relationship, right? Especially when it happens under a different airline. So,
well,
anyway.
Again,
it's a tough question.
Well, it's not, it's nothing that
it's tough on one hand, but
well, someone's buying inventory months in advance. Oftentimes.
Right.
So unless it can be caught real time, unless the company comes down and says, pull all advertising, they don't know what we're going to be talking about.
Yeah, that or before every episode is published into the RSS feed, it runs through this engine.
Yeah, well.
This AI analysis, right?
Then we're doomed.
Right.
But again, if they've contracted to buy, they're going to pay me. If they've contracted to buy my show, and it's not programmatic, this is host read ad endorsed, mm-hmm. they're going to pay if they remove the ad in some engine. They're going to pay because they contracted that regardless of what they say. It's a different ball game in podcasting.
Well, and also, I mean, if you take back to the early years of journalism, right? Because I think what we're really talking about here is the funding for news departments or news programs is being impacted by this stuff, right? But if you go back to the early days, I mean, I'm talking about like back in the 70s and the 60s and stuff like that, there was usually a separation between editorial and advertising, right? Mm-hmm. That kind of separated from each other generally. Maybe there was some crossover, like James said, with breaking news type of scenarios, but that was probably easily handled because it was usually live. But you know, in an on-demand world, I don't know that that's it as easy to manage here. And it's, you know, my comment back to James was this brand safety and suitability stuff is a slippery slope towards, you know, could be used for censorship and create an atmosphere of self-censorship, creator self-censorship. So lay out a scenario that if you are approaching your show and you know that you have an advertiser that has a particular view on something and there's a news story that is contrary to that, and you're a content creator, you could censor yourself, right? And say, well, I'm not going to talk about that because I don't want to lose that ad revenue.
Yeah.
That's the danger here. So I don't want to completely cover this topic we bring on Tamara, but...
Someone's joining us today?
No.
Okay. Another day.
Yeah, it'll be another day, right?
All right. And I was like, whoa.
So anyway, that's probably enough to talk about it today. And I don't think we want to dive too deep into this, but if I bring on someone, we will peel back the layers of the onion on this one, right? Because there's a lot of layers.
Yeah, there's always lots of layers. The key is don't participate.
Right. Yeah. I think increasingly the big players are all in.
Then come on over. Come on over to Blueberry. We're not going to play that game.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Not the attribution game either.
Yeah. So that's kind of, you know, really, I think the big things that have been breaking here this past week. I did notice that there was a brand, what's called a 2024 benchmark report branded podcast from Signal Hill Insights out talking about, branded podcasts as kind of like the opportunity as you look into the future. And I think part of why this is happening or why this perception is growing is that I think this is a potential response or a development that may be in the middle of somewhat replacing advertising. This is a different form of customer, you know, connection and community building and communications that really more follows along kind of a content marketing strategy, not an advertising strategy. So I don't know what your thoughts are on that.
Well, I haven't read the article, so I really don't have no.
Yeah, it says 86% of branded podcasts that were tested have resulted in a lift in the affinity for that brand responsible for the podcast. So it's not a blatant advertisement for the brand responsible for the content, not unlike what the Trader Joe's podcast is. It's not like a advertisement, but it's more like a storytelling. And that's kind of what the unfolding of this is that it's branded podcasts need to tell a story that helps their customers or helps their users in their experience in the journey with a particular area that particular sponsor has a passion for. So
yeah, it makes sense.
Yeah. So that's what's going on with that.
I think anybody that's doing a business related podcast probably knows about this. I don't a branded podcast. You know, we don't call it the Blueberry Podcast. We call it the Podcast Insider Podcast. So
right, but it's brought to you by Blueberry, right?
Yeah, we don't really advertise it, but you can tell right away it's hosted by Blueberry employees.
Mm-hmm.
You know, which we announced at the beginning of the show, so there's no.
Yeah, it also says in the study, it says that there's a halo effect that happens with a company that has a branded podcast per se under this definition. It says 61% of listeners on average say that the podcast made them feel more favorable towards the brand. Because it probably personalizes the brand a little bit more.
Hmm.
Creates a human connection to the brand.
Well,
your Blueberry thing.
But most companies are faceless though. So maybe it adds.
Yeah, it adds a human being. People like people more than they like brands.
You do business with people you like too.
Right.
That's part of it.
And that's somewhat the ideology or the mentality of me doing this live show that I do for StreamYard on their platform every week is that it's not a blatant ad for StreamYard.
Mm-hmm.
It's really more of a content sharing kind of help idea helpfulness. Right. And it's the same thing that you do with your podcast for Blueberry is that it's a supportive show that helps bring along your customers or maybe your future customers and how they think about, you know, utilizing your services to create a podcast. So, you know, I think it's helpful and I think it's a big part of where we are right now in the cycle. And I'm not sure advertising is really as effective as it used to be in doing that.
Well, you know, there was a discussion on the last Podcasting 2.0 show.
Yeah.
About, are you listening to that show, by the way? You should.
Yeah, I occasionally listen to it. Yeah.
Well, it is the mandatory board meeting, so you've been missing out.
I have.
So okay. There's, you know, one of the things that I was as a person for my personal show, I reached out to the team at Fountain. I said I want to be able to just like be able to set up a bucket that anytime someone listens to my show on Fountain, that they would get streaming sats by the minute from me for listening. And they really didn't have that tech to do that by me providing a bucket just for my show. And they said something about vouchers. And in the end, but basically, I just tell podcasters, hey, just let me know what your Fountain address is. If you're listening to the show, I'll then send you some free sats. And so this had already been on my mind for a while, because what I'm really trying to do here is just change some behavior. I'm trying to teach podcasters what the value of these new podcast apps are and how it's going. And the listeners, it's going to start with the listeners first. So in the end, not trying to teach us the podcast, just trying to teach my listeners the value of this. Mm-hmm. And, you know, who doesn't like free money, right? You know, even if it's $5, you still like, I don't know, if you see $5 laying on the floor, I'm going to swoop it up, right? That's $5. So they came up with, Adam's been doing some soul searching and coming up with some ideas. And imagine this. People are listening to this show right now on a new modern podcast app at podcastapps.com. And we pay them, let's say, 100 sats a minute to listen. So in 90 minutes, you know, that's 9,000 sats. I think that's my high school math going there. And they can use that to share the wealth with, you know, whoever they want over the next, you know, week or whatever. They take those sats and give them to somebody else or keep them and cash them out. Well, part of the challenge has been is still crypto stigmatism. So if we can get the apps to the point where it just shows up as dollars, there's some sort of magic that can happen so that it shows that you got $23 balance and you can get that to your PayPal account or wherever you want and actually spend it versus having to go through the rigmarole of basically transferring your sats to change your sats to Bitcoin and then Bitcoin. It's just a little too complicated. If we can get this figured out where we can have the podcasting apps show stuff in dollars, then if I'm running a GoDaddy ad, I could say, hey, I'll send a higher sat level. I'll bribe listeners to stay to listen to the ad because I'm going to pay them. Let's say I pay 1,000 sats a minute during the ad or 5,000 sats or whatever it is. I pay the listener to listen to the ad. This is interesting from the same respect that now I would have the ability to actually show true engagement on an advertising spot because I could see how many minutes someone actually listened to the ad. So if the ad's a minute, I send 1,000 sats, boom, I know that ad was listened to. I can guarantee it was listened to. Now they may shuffle. We'll have to put some stuff in to make sure they can't cheat. But if someone's listening along and hits the advance button, boom, boom, and skips the ad, well, they're not going to make any sats and they won't get any of that money in their wallet. So what they've really kind of proposing or having this idea of called sat backs. And I think that from, and this goes beyond what I originally had talked about in being able to send my listeners some sats for just using a new app, number one. But number two, I could say, okay, during this segment that I'm running GoDaddy, I'm going to send you 5,000 sats for listening to the ad. And I think most people will listen to it. Now, it doesn't mean they're going to engage in it, but I can go back to GoDaddy and say, hey, I can guarantee that X number of people heard your ad on this episode. Instead of having this story about, oh, you know, we had 1,000 downloads and, you know, we come up with our formula and how we do an estimating show up size and how we bill. you know, it could be an interesting experiment. But again, this is all about really at this point trying to make sure that and coming up with a way without having to say we're spying on people by, you know, sending data back that says, hey, and we watched your, you know, your progression through and we reported this IP as having listened to the ad. It's just that, you know, there's some new mindsets here we could consider in this marketing thing. Now, here's the problem. You're not going to get Apple and Spotify and all these. Well, Spotify already has the data. Spotify's got all the data. And they're remarketing.
I've also learned something else from Gautam, who's the CEO of a podcast hosting platform out of the huge country of India, which is the largest country in the world. He told me last week, I believe, that sats and Bitcoin is outlawed in India.
Really?
You can't even transact any of those currencies.
So no crypto in India at all.
There's no pathway to convert it to
to a fiat fund.
To a fiat currency. Right. Correct. There's no pathway for that. And if you attempt it, it's
illegal.
It's a criminal act.
Wow. That's interesting. Can you still get sats or you just can't try to cash them out?
I think at the end of the day, you might be able to do it if you use maybe a VPN or something like that, potentially.
Yeah.
But I'm not sure about all that. And I do kind of wonder also in the other huge country of China, if there's any viability to Satoshis and cryptocurrency in the two largest countries in the world. So I think you're talking about 2 billion people there. So, or more, 2.5 billion, something like that.
Yeah, very, very strange.
Well, yeah.
Again, crypto stigmatism. So you're going to run into that. Yeah. And it's really a governmental thing at that point.
And I do wonder if there's a risk that that could happen in Western countries.
Nah,
too.
Not in the, they can't control it.
Hmm.
Well, what they're going to control, there's other things.
The ability to convert it to fiat currency as well.
Yeah, you know, you're going to have to put Coinbase and companies like that out of business. So,
yeah, and I'm an investor in Coinbase, so I would love to have that work out.
Well, it is working out. So, but or in the end,
stay working out.
Yeah,
is what I'm saying.
But in the end, I think what we really at some point have to consider on some of this is, you know, how do we make it easier for podcasters to participate? And I think that's a big part of it here.
Yeah, I mean it's a viable thing here in the, you know, in the West of sorts, right? And all the other countries that I'm aware of, unless there's other maybe smaller countries that have banned this capability too of converting to fiat. So I don't know. Time will tell on this.
So let's see here. I'm looking at some sats that have come in. I don't know if I read this on the last show. 1,701 sats from Brian. He sent this after the last live show. He says, I don't think the market, and this is another topic that we talked about last week. I don't think the market is telling creators they have to do video. Yes, there's some growth in video content, but the narrative that you should do video seems to be driven by the marketing of YouTube and others with a vested interest in video first content and centers around low value programmatic advertising rather than long-term creator value. I would have a tendency to agree with that, Brian. Thank you.
Well, I think it's conflating two things that aren't necessarily related to each other.
Well, most advertising on YouTube that you're not paying for premium YouTube is low grade programmatic advertising.
Sure. Sure, that's true. Yeah.
1,000 sats from Matt. Bat signal didn't work. Time zone is still messed up. Yeah, I'm trying to figure out. We're good on time zone on my site and everything. So apparently the we're live signal is not going out. So Papa HD, we'll find out what's going on here. I've got people investigating as we speak. I've asked for a investigation to be done. Let me look here. So looked fine on me. System picked up on all the checks. It, okay. So for the record, the pod ping we sent out was correct. It is a few apps, Podverse and others, that did not pick up the pod ping. For those of you thinking, what am I talking about? Those that are on a new podcasting app will understand. So there's still reasons. There's still ways to improve.
Oh, yeah. I'm sure that's true. Yeah, I see this quote in the headlines of RainNews.com about this whole Spotify thing, to kind of jump back to Spotify a little bit. His, their take, and this is the news people at Rain News, are seeing this change with Spotify as a signal of extraordinary self-sufficiency. I hadn't seen that perspective on it. I don't know if that's,
say that again.
It feels a little hyperbolic, maybe a little bit. It this shift that Spotify made about getting out of the IAB and not getting certified.
Oh.
From their perspective, and this is Brad Hill over at Rain News.
Oh, says that, yeah, I read this piece.
It's a signal of extraordinary self-sufficiency on the part of Spotify.
Well, and the reason is self-sufficiency is they have great metrics themselves.
They're
spying on people. Yes. It's
a proprietary login platform.
No, it's an app. They've got client-sized data. They know when you push play. They know when you hit stop. They know when you fast 30 seconds.
Well, that's the same thing.
When you take your app to the bathroom to listen. They know all this.
Right, and when you sign up for an account with them, you share information.
They know when your phone is laying down in your pocket, when you're walking, if you're moving, if you are looking at the screen. They know all this metric data. Come on,
yeah.
This is the privacy. Right. And again, this is, you know, I talked to a content creator the other day,
right?
And they're like, "Oh, we love Spotify." I said, "So you love your listeners being spied on?"
And it's the same thing that's happening at Apple, and the same thing that's happening
at YouTube
too.
Do you think Apple is reusing that to retarget, to remarket to people?
Well, it's not an advertising model. So
do you think Spotify is?
Yes. Though I would say maybe the advertising side is maybe not as big as their subscription growth. So I don't know.
Mm.
I think people are trying to skip advertising. Now, granted, maybe with the economy, people are unsubscribing and putting up with ads.
Well,
so,
you know, it's just like people that still use Chartable. I'm like, that data is going straight to Spotify. And right. whatever they had before, that other company, they changed to, I don't know, what was it, PodSites or whatever the company was that they renamed the company. So, you know, all this data.
Right.
Megaphone and everything is hosted on Megaphone, all that information of all those listeners.
Mm-hmm.
And people don't think, I guess podcasters don't care about listener privacy anymore. I guess they just say, forget it.
Todd, have you noticed an increased interest in companies and individuals creating in-person studios again?
I talked to an individual, I won't say which state because it'll give it away, that said they had launched a new studio in their business. And they have it available for rent. I didn't ask them how many people were using it.
Yeah, and I think it's a little bit of a driven based on it. And I've had people comment this to me that if you look at some of the most popular kind of video shows that are out there that are considered to be, you know, by many to be podcasts, they are tending to gravitate more towards in-person, face-to-face conversations, right?
On
mic, like us, but it's more like we're together in one place versus...
Well, that's very, very hard and very, very expensive. Unless
well, you see these big creators, you know, like the Diary of a CEO is a good example of it. He he does his show in London.
Right.
So people come to him, or Tucker Carlson is up in Maine and has people fly up to his studio.
That is such a huge, I bet you there's maybe a handful of shows that are doing that. Who has the budget for that?
Well, if you have a big enough room, it's just a matter of.
But you're going to fly someone in?
Well, I think most of these shows are doing them in places that are like major hubs.
Well,
like,
I wouldn't fly like to London. The show would have to be massive for me to fly to London to spend an hour on some podcast. They'd have to be reaching millions and millions of people for me to consider that.
Right.
A Tucker's big enough, he can draw somebody like that and have them come to them. That's like Joe Rogan. He has big enough draw, people will fly to see Joe. But that is a massive show.
Oh, it is, clearly. But people are seeing this, right? And they're thinking that that's the path to success.
Oh, good luck.
And, you know, if you look at The Impact Theory, it's another one. It's a show based out of Los Angeles. And it's got a built-out studio. It's got, you know, and then the big conversation at the NAB, and I think we talked about this a little bit, is, you know, Mr. Beast and how he's shifting what he's doing. I don't know if what he's shifting to will lend itself towards audio, but it could. Who knows? So, but
again,
creators are seeing these things, Todd, and they're thinking, you know, if this guy has a million subscribers to his channel, it's an idea that I need to.
But they have to look at what he did before he had a million subscribers. He needs to go 800 episodes down and look at what he was doing when he had 20,000 people.
Yeah, and I saw even Tom Ballou with The Impact Theory, he was doing virtual interviews just a couple of years ago. So, but now just about everything he's doing now is in studio. I think he's grown to a size where people will come to him. And I think that's increasingly, and then we're seeing more, I mean, I'm getting people reaching out to me too, and I'm seeing it more publicized that people are building in-person studios. So if you don't have the ability to build out your own studio in your own house or something like that, that you can go into one of these places and batch produce, you know, a bunch of shows and, you know, who knows?
Yeah, I just, I can't imagine trying to ask someone to come here.
Probably not there.
You know.
Though you do have a studio there that would be capable of doing
that. Oh, I've got a beautiful studio here, and I've got another room that would handle, you know.
Get a couple of chairs.
Yeah, we've done stuff in that other studio that's published on other, you know, something we've done for the office, and
right.
I got a green screen on this side, so there's plenty of. I'm wired up to do really anything here, but, you know, again, I don't have a million people follow me anywhere. So,
right.
If Tucker Carlson, Chris, I'm not with me every on his show because I'm not, don't cover stuff he talks about. But if that dude in London, and it was a big enough exposure, sure. I'm sure the company would sign off on flying me there to do an interview and fly back. So
I think increasingly those type of shows are extremely picky about who they have.
Oh, I'm sure. I'm sure. And they get to pick they get to pick the cream of the crop.
And it's because they are very much shifting towards, and this is what Mr. Beast was talking about too, they're shifting towards more authentic, value-driven, value-laden conversations, right, is what they're trying to do. And I do see those being produced increasingly, and it does make you wonder. I don't know, Todd, if you saw the announcement that happened on X and Twitter, is that they're on the cusp of launching a smart TV app for X.
I wouldn't be surprised. Why not?
So, and they showed actually a screenshot of it. On X, I guess the CEO of Twitter X.
Because they know, as YouTube indicated at the Podcast Movement Evolutions, that they've been shocked by the number of people that are sitting in their couch and flipping on YouTube and watching content on YouTube on their television.
Right.
It makes sense as the amount of beep that is available on broadcast networks, the amount of absolute caca.
Right. So, and then you kind of layer in, you know, a platform like a Rumble, which takes the other alternative economy or content, right? That's
but
more focused on
it's going to be people
speech,
that are
going to
about
X.
It's people that are going to be watching the same content that they're, you know, it's surprised TikTok doesn't have. Of course, TikTok now is under the gun as the U.S. government seems to want to
shut them down.
No, they're not trying to shut them down. They are trying to tell Americans what to. You know, the nanny state.
They actually passed the bill, Tom.
Oh, I know they did. That's why the U.S. government is
actually.
The U.S. government is saying what you can and can't watch.
Right. And I do believe that there's some wording in that bill that leaves it open for interpretation and gives the government power to shut down platforms.
Well.
Or force the sale of those platforms to someone else, especially if they have foreign ownership.
Again, I don't need a nanny state. I don't need the government telling me what
that's
I should.
Increasingly, what's happening?
Well, then you know, people need to wake up, and they need, you know, this was passed with like only 20 people voted against it. So,
well, it was a funding bill for our wars is what it really was.
Again, 20 people voted against it and allowed it to be there in the first place. So, you know, call your congressperson, get involved, you know, freedom of speech is precious. And they had tried
TikTok was like an earmark on their funding bill.
Freedom of speech is very, very precious and we have to defend it. And if you allow the government to take away your freedom of speech, they'll come after podcasting next.
I think they're already on that path.
Well, these brand safety people are. And that's why I'm so against brand safety stuff.
Yeah.
And you know, it's truly remarkable. It's a very precious thing. Just imagine, you know, just imagine a day when you say something about a certain topic and you get a knock on the door and you're arrested for what you have to say and take off.
Well,
that's
already starting to happen down in Australia. I don't know if you've seen the news out of Australia lately, but they passed a law that they're trying to take down content globally.
Well, then Australians need to stand up and fight back.
Yeah.
People are just, they're sheep. And they got a lot of sheep down in Australia. Actually, I think it's New Zealand. You know, but
well, it's Australia too.
Okay. You know, they just rolling over.
Sheep goes, as far as the sheep goes,
you know,
you know,
sheep are easy to herd. You can easily lead sheep to slaughter, you know, and we don't want to be sheep.
You want to be a bull, right, Tom?
You just want to, you just need to stand up and say your piece. I guarantee you 20 million people call the House of Representatives, call the Senate and complain, this monkey business would stop.
But do they care about what we think, Todd?
You have enough people. The key is you have to stand up and fight for your rights. And if you don't fight for your rights, you get what you deserve. We're at a point now where, you know, You got to fight for your rights.
Yeah.
And it doesn't mean fight physically. It means speak your peace.
Right.
Protest.
It's more of a... just make sure that your morals and ethics and your views and your support of the Constitution is expressed.
if you don't think so, if you think TikTok should be banned, then you'll get what you deserve when they start coming after other platforms. But you know, it's you know, I'm just a big freedom of speech guy. I don't like the government telling me what I can and can't listen to or what I can and can't do when it comes to media.
And I did hear that this bill, this TikTok bill, included a clause in there talking about websites too.
I'm not surprised.
And well, it's websites and apps.
The U.S. government knows best, right? And what we should do as citizens and the content we consume. This is why open RSS. I'm going to go back to this again and again. Open RSS is the last bastion of free speech.
Yeah, and it's been confirmed here recently, right, Todd? I think Spotify conceded a very important point.
And also, there's studies out saying that podcasters are most trusted.
Yeah.
Our voices are most trusted of any media.
Yeah.
So.
And exactly why is that, Todd?
Hello?
Because people can trust what's being said more?
I think it's because largely is people can smell a fraud a mile away. They can smell BS. You can't do an episode after an episode after an episode and maintain a charade. If you might fool some people some of the time, but you won't fool all the people all the time. Because if you're speaking on a topic, on a subject, people are going to very quickly figure out whether you're an expert or you're not. They're going to find out if you're... I was in a meeting. I don't know if I've ever told this before. Or maybe I did on a recent show. I was in a meeting when I was in the Navy. There was like 50 people there. And we're in a room. We're in a secure room. Mm-hmm. And all the cell phones are outside. And you know, there's questions being talked on high level. It's a high level classification test. And my boss was there. And this guy was brilliant. He was a smart, smart dude. And he asked somebody a question that he knew the answer for already. And the individual that was asked the question started to do a little, how should we say it? Not giving the exact correct answer, trying to blow a little smoke up this guy's ass. It didn't end well. Because someone will always know where the ground truth of something is. Mm-hmm. So you best do your best ability as a podcaster to always tell the truth, always share everything that you can in a straight manner, because it won't be long before you're not the smartest person in the room and someone else will say, that's wrong.
Right.
And when they do, so I think that's why podcasters are trusted. We're in front of people. You and I joke, you and I battle, we have a good time, you know. I play devil's advocate a lot. I learned that from my grandfather, who's long, long dead. You know, I would watch him when he was, I was watching him as a teenager, and he was a hardcore, staunch Republican, and someone would roll into the driveway, and they'd also be a hardcore, staunch Republican, but he'd turn into a Democrat just for the conversation.
Mm-hmm.
And they would, would get lively, and I could always see the little smirk on his face, right? Because he liked stirring the pot. Well, that's okay. And we do that a little bit here. I stir the pot a little bit with you. But in the end, I think people that listen to us long enough will, I hope, take about 90% of what we say, or 95.
Right.
And say, okay, or take one nugget for something.
Mm-hmm.
I don't purposely ever try to deceive anybody on this show. I give my opinion the way it is based upon what I see on the ground. And that just leads into, that's what I think most podcasters do. I think they're purveyors of good information. Now, there's going to be, you're going to have some shows that are kind of like, okay, cuckoo, or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
Is ultimately entertainment a little bit.
Right.
But at the same time, I don't like being serious all the time. It gets boring. it's like to have a little fun here too. So, when I see, and again, I've probably in the back of my head, here's the thing. If I was in a different job,
right?
If I was if I was doing defense work, or if I was in politics, or if I was involved in running a campaign or some of this other stuff, I would probably be worried what was being looked at and subjected me to via social media platforms. But they all have had their own issues.
Yeah.
And here's what I really think is happening with TikTok. This is Todd's conspiracy theory. TikTok is kicking the living, they're butt kicking everybody. Facebook, YouTube, Twitter, Instagram, for guess what they're kicking their butt in? Dollars. Ad dollars.
Yeah.
They're kicking their butts everywhere. So guess what? Facebook says, oh, they're dangerous. Hypothetically, I'm thinking Facebook said they're dangerous. Twitch, oh, they're dangerous. Instagram, well, they're dangerous. YouTube, oh my God, they're dangerous. We need to banish this app because they're taking billions of dollars out of our pocket. So you don't think this is not money driven?
Oh, you always follow the money.
Follow the money.
Yeah, right. That's always, you always know, behind most everything that's going on.
If I was making billions of dollars in advertising and I was competing against TikTok, man, I would definitely be paying lobbyists to try to suppress them. But I'm not that person, you know?
Yeah.
Actually, probably not. I wouldn't live with myself. You gotta compete on features, you know?
Right.
What do I do? What do I do day in, day out? We add stuff to try to make sure we're competitive.
So you got more AI stuff in the pipeline, Todd?
No comment.
No comment.
You know.
So are you excited to go to Asia for PodFest?
Yeah, I am. I'm interested to. I have a couple agendas while I'm there, and number one is basically to, you know, share the gospel, obviously. And then number two is another reason I won't get into. But yes, I'm excited to go over there and talk with you. Because, you know, here's what it is. Went to Saudi, I came back with some new perspectives. So every time you go visit a new international market, if you don't listen to what people are saying and look at what's happening in the ecosystem, I can almost guarantee you that Spotify is basically pretty much owns the entire Philippine ecospace. I just know it based upon what I learned in Saudi. So the goal is to go there and provide different perspectives. Mm-hmm. You know, maybe make people think a little bit, do I really want to put all my cards in one place?
Right.
And so you can believe there's going to be a few slides on that. I don't have a lot of time to talk, so I have to get a lot in a hurry. And as a matter of fact, I'm working 3 days this week on my presentation because, again, I got to fast and furious.
Yeah, so you're going to be going there and then you're going to podcast show too.
Yeah, right. I get home and I'm literally home like 5 days before I leave for the UK. So I'm going to spend my work week. I'm going to get in there like Sunday and then I'm going to work in the evening some nights and then I fly back on Saturday. So it's like I'm trying to also work even though I'm only going for a 1 day event.
Yeah, well, let me know what days are coming up for this show that we're going to be able to do.
This show we will be able to do if we can move it up a little bit. It might be good because as soon as the show's over and I'm done producing next week, let me look at the actual calendar here. If we could go earlier on the show on Wednesday, that would be great. I got to drive to Chicago after I finish the show on Wednesday. So if you're able to go earlier, that would be cool.
Yeah.
And then I fly out Thursday night. So,
yeah, I should be able to go earlier.
And then I lose a day. You know, I basically you get it on the way back, but you lose it on the way out.
Mm-hmm.
Actually, 2 days, the way my flights are set up. So fly to San Francisco about midnight on Thursday. And then I arrive in Manila Saturday morning.
Got it.
After a 15-hour, woohoo!
Yeah. That's a lot.
Yeah, that's a butt kicker of a flight. But yeah, take two beers and a sleeping pill.
So it'll be interesting to see what the attendance is and how strong the podcast show is.
Yeah. We're down in the lower section at the podcast show. We're not
down
up on
the kind of main floor.
Yeah. There. Yeah. And we've got a 4 meter. No. Yeah. 4 meter by 3 meter booth.
Okay. What is that?
Like a 12 by, it's like a 12 by 9 or something like that. I don't yeah. know. It's, you know, it's.
Yeah, yeah. It's.
Yeah.
It's a rectangular.
Yeah.
Squarish.
And we're having, yeah. we got the design done today. They're going to send that off to them and they're going to, I'm just taking paper.
Okay. So you're not shipping really anything.
No, I'm not. Yeah. It's cheaper. $1,200 or $1,300 to have them do the facing, mm-hmm. and then I'll just roll. I'll take a small bag and put all the paperwork in. And Manila, same thing. I'm taking a table drape and paperwork. So
anything else that you've noticed in the space in the last week?
A lot of networks. I'm talking it. That seems to be where what is ringing my phone off.
It's the networks.
The networks. Yep.
Do networks appear to be growing? And
networks are doing fine. They're growing.
Shows try and find partners. Is that kind of
they are. It's like anyone else. Everyone's being cost conscious right now, and also I'm getting people moving to us because they don't trust the data they're getting. And it doesn't bode well for a specific company.
Ones that have not been.
No comment.
Connected to the IAB.
No comment.
No comment. Okay.
And it's a variety. But that's the theme of the call. Why I'm getting the call is when someone says, I can't make sense of this data that I'm being given. I don't understand. I feel I'm being underpaid.
Are they comparing it to something externally?
They don't understand. Okay, let's say you delivered 1 million downloads.
Right.
And you said you had a 90% fill rate between host read and programmatic, but you're only getting paid for 70% of that.
Okay.
There's holes. Yeah. Holes in the data. And you get the spreadsheets and you say, what is this? And the response from whoever that handler is can't answer the question.
Okay. So they're working with probably a redirect platform that's giving them different data. So
they just they can't get a handle. And they basically feel that they can't trust who they're with.
Or they might be getting shorted on their.
They didn't accuse that. They just don't understand the data. They didn't say the word short at all. They just said, we can't understand what we're seeing.
Right.
And I walk them through our stats. I show them the platform, give them a sample spreadsheet. And I say, we understand this. Show them how the DAI reports come out. We understand this. Oh, okay. Yep. Makes sense.
Are you doing any kind of reanalysis of log files like you used to?
Not on third parties. We haven't done that in a long time. I'm tired of wearing bulletproof vests.
yeah. That makes sense.
But maybe that could start to be a new business again.
Well, I would say probably with this change that we're seeing? Because, you know, what's the domino effect?
Media buyers start calling me and said, we need to have our own. Can we have a white label stat system? That's what happens.
I mean, yeah. I mean, what's the potential domino effect of Spotify taking this position that could domino into other platforms doing the same?
Again, they've got great data on Spotify.
I know.
So
that's true. And there's not a lot of other platforms that are similar.
No. So, you know, they've got the best data that anyone could have. You know, let's be frank. That's the sweet. They got the honey spot.
I guess doesn't SiriusXM kind of have a similar scenario?
I don't know. Can they see what you're watching on your car?
On their platform.
See what channel I'm on? Can they see if I'm listening to Stern or whoever?
I would think so, if you're listening in their platform.
I don't know. I don't know if their receiver reports back. I'm sure if you're on the web, you can. Amazon too, you're getting this. They're getting, you know, anyone that's got any content that's being consumed on a system where you've had to log in,
right? On a proprietary distribution platform
where you've had to log in, they're
probably similar, even over at like Audible or Amazon or any of those.
Oh, I'm sure.
Too.
Yeah. Right. So, but again, when you have Amazon, that's less than 1%. You know, they don't have a lot of data.
And I guess Google Podcasts is still available outside of the U.S., right?
Yeah.
So I think it's
They took a pretty big beating in a couple of articles, too, recently. A lot of people are upset about Google Podcasts, but...
Well, it's really weird because it's like, usually it's the other way around.
So, you know, let's have
outside of the U.S. is usually not supported, but now the U.S. isn't supported. It's almost like, you know, a reverse scenario.
If you're still here, if you're still listening... Let us remind you that you have to be able to look beyond the fog of the shiny lure.
Right.
And you have to understand whether or not you can trust a third party to have your content on their site. Business models change all the time. Twice now, Google has affected me in a way that really pissed me off.
Mm-hmm.
Number one, I was using this great product called Google Reader years ago. That's fabulous. Got all my news, subscribed to everything. I could consume everything I could get. Like, I'd spend 20 minutes on it in the morning, 20 minutes in the evening, and I had I could see everything. I didn't have to go to any other website. They killed Google Reader. And they did it because they didn't and wouldn't or couldn't monetize that.
Right.
Google Podcast was introduced and they couldn't monetize it. So they've killed Google Podcast because they couldn't monetize Google Podcast, and they're making people move into YouTube and this, you know, YouTube music thing, which is surfacing video first, because they can monetize around that and pay the creator nothing. The majority of
the National Public Radio is not available on YouTube Music.
Smart. You know, so you have to think about, it's okay to be over there. I'm over there. But where do I promote my podcast being listened on?
So is this show over there as an audio program that converted to a video over on
they take the YouTube version of this show and put it on Google
Music.
Okay,
it's not pulling off of the audio RSS feed.
No.
Okay. You didn't submit. Yeah, no. I haven't submitted any of my other shows.
So to do that. In the end, I know the risk of being on YouTube, but I tell my audience, go get yourself a new modern podcast app at podcastapps.com, or listen on Apple Podcasts or Overcast or wherever you want to listen.
Or Pocket Casts.
But again,
a good one too. Or Overcast.
I don't trust. And we see it all the, Rob, how many times you've been on YouTube and you see the sob story from one of the channels you're following that's been demonetized. And when those guys get demonetized, it is devastating to them. They go from riches to rags in an instant. So why would I want to put my basket all over in one place where they're in control? Content creators have to wake up. It's okay to be over there. I'm not saying it's not. But where do you promote your audience to listen to you is key.
Yeah, Todd, I saw that the YouTube stream from your platform stopped at 17 minutes on my side.
It's still going over here.
Yeah, it's finished the stream, it says in the interface.
And for your channel?
Yeah, on my channel.
Oh, that's weird. I'm still running on my channel. We're still live.
Yeah, well, that's good. That's good. It's just that I just have it'll be a short episode up on my channel.
you can download the video and re-upload it.
Right.
1,000 Sats from Mike. He says, Google's tried podcasting many times. Reader, listen, then Google Play, then Google Podcasts, and now YouTube. So, yeah, we've been through multiple iterations.
Yeah.
So
that's true.
You know, I people say, oh, you're crazy. But people don't have 20 years of historical information. See how they operate.
I spent a lot of time with the Google Podcast team. Both Rob Walsh and I spent many, many meetings with them.
They don't. So, you know, and they were, yeah, oh, that sounds great. Da, 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 da. But again, do they care about podcasters? No.
It's the same thing that happened with Facebook, too.
They want, just like Spotify, they want you over there to monetize against you. You're paying for Spotify. Most people are. Right. And you're being advertised against in Spotify. That's like watching TV.
Right.
Now, if I'm advertising because guess what? That's my business. It's in my show. I'm presenting that to you. I get the percentage of that back. For GoDaddy, I get 100% of it. I don't have a deal with nobody. But if you're working with an ad agency, 70-30, get 70% back. You're not getting that with YouTube.
Right.
And again, I think it just, people have to be careful. I'm go ahead and be over there. I'm over there. But you have to be careful about.
What's your expectations?
Being too. In the hype.
Right.
Why do we have book authors? Why do we have musicians? Why do we have people that are making movie shorts, movie documentaries, are pissed with the system because they do this work and they basically get 2 cents on the dollar? Mm-hmm. Why does Snoop Dogg get, you know, a billion or whatever the number was, listens on Spotify and gets a check for like 50 grand? Come on.
Yeah.
If they're only giving Snoop Dogg $50,000, please. So you have to have your own, you got to take control of your own destiny and build your brand as you see fit.
Yeah. Yeah. I think that's all you can do. But it's a complex landscape now of navigating all that stuff.
But again, I don't care where people listen or watch, as long as they listen or watch. Mm-hmm. And we will deal with the fallout when something happens. But I'm not going to get in bed with the devil and whoever that may be. And I'm not, that's a widespread of.
There's a lot of
entities.
A lot of potential players on that front.
You know, and again, I say that jokingly, you know, you know, I think the average creator is just like, oh, okay, awesome. I told a company the other day where there was getting a product demo to me and they were like, oh yeah, Spotify's knocking out of the ballpark. And I'm like, well, you guys love selling your audiences out. And I get this look like, during the Zoom meeting, I'm getting this look like, what do you mean? Well, they know everything about your audience. They can remarket to them. You're not. You don't get to remarket to them. You get to market to them, but not you're not remarketing.
Yeah.
And people, and maybe it's because of our, maybe why Blueberry's numbers on Spotify are so low is maybe it's because people that use us, maybe they think like Todd a little bit. I don't know.
They don't fully appreciate the opportunity of Spotify, I guess.
Oh, fully appreciate the opportunity. Okay.
Right.
I'm like how you twisted that to be positive.
Well, it depends on your particular viewpoint, right?
It right. Can
be positive or it can be negative.
I'm a creator right. first, you know? Right. Yeah, I got it. We have to make money and make payroll.
So, Todd, as you look out into, because we're at the bottom of the hour already.
Yeah, we're almost. We are.
Yeah. So I'm actually going to be out of town on the 22nd myself. I'm flying up to Seattle.
Okay.
Actually, I'm going to Phoenix first and then up to Seattle. But I don't think I'm going to be back in time for being able to do a show either on the 29th. So.
Yeah. So, okay. 29th is out for me anyway.
It is.
29th because I go on travel again. So, can you do a show? Oh, I'll be in London the 22nd. So really, the opportunity here.
I think we're both
here.
Dead in the water on the 22nd and the 29th.
Yeah. Right. So I'm available on the 1st, which is next week. I am available on the 8th. If we can actually, the 1st, if we can go early, that would be great.
The 1st?
Yeah, on the 1st. The 8th, not available on the 8th.
Oh, okay.
We'll see, because I'll be in the Philippines. That's the day of the event. So if we want to
do it through, I could do it through StreamYard if we want to.
Yeah, I have to look at my pack out, think what I'm taking, because I'm not taking the Rodecaster on this trip. So maybe if I have just a handheld, we can still do it. But it would have to probably be early on the 9th, which would be like 7 p.m. your time or something like that.
On the 9th or the
8th? Well, it'd be 8th for you, 8th in the evening.
Oh, 8th in the evening.
9th in the morning for me, because I'm going to be 12 hours ahead of you. So, yeah, we can figure something out, and we can talk about the event. So, yeah, we can do the morning of the 9th, but I need to go early because of flights and everything.
And then you should be back in town by the 15th.
Yeah, I will be back. We'll do the show on the 15th. So 1st, 9th, 1st, 8th, 15th, but no 22 or 29.
Okay. And then back at it in June.
Yep, back at it.
On the 5th.
Yep. Maybe at a different time. Because like I said, I'm traveling again for 2 months starting in June, July. I will not be in the studio.
Really?
Yep.
2 months?
2 months. Wow. Yep.
Okay.
But, yep. Closing up shop here and off to Netherlands. Okay, everybody.
All right, sir.
We got to the end, and the YouTube crowd hung out pretty good today. Thank you on YouTube for being here. Facebook, I didn't see you guys. But if you're listening to the show, we appreciate your emails. We've been getting some mad emails recently. So any emails, good. It's todd@blueberry.com. BLU.
Stirring the pot a little.
Yeah, a little. BLUBRRY.com. todd@blueberry.com. @geeknews.chat on Mastodon, and @geeknews on X.
And I'm also on X @RobGreenlee, and I can be found at robgreenlee.com. You can also be reached by email if you want to reach me at robgreenlee@gmail.com. I'm on LinkedIn and all the major platforms. So if you want to reach out, and then I'm doing my live StreamYard show tomorrow night at 7 p.m. Eastern. I've got a large a YouTuber and podcaster joining me on that program. So
and I might be adding a mailing list for the new media show. And
really?
Yeah. And
that's awesome.
We're going to use Google Groups. This is the way you can, you don't get no tracking. You just put your email into it. You'll get the email from us, but you can't, there's no click tracking or nothing like that. So it's a free way to do a podcast mailing list. Mm-hmm. Without you don't have to pay MailChimp or nobody like that. It's just, it's not fancy. So, right. I'll get that in work, and either this week or next week, we'll have it on the website where people can sign up, and then they'll get a newsletter, an email from each show. Our comical AI will put together a show summary for you, and, doesn't substitute listening, but go over to newmediashow.com. Follow or subscribe to the podcast. We appreciate it on your favorite podcast app. And don't forget about those newfangled podcast apps at podcastapps.com. So everyone, thanks. We'll see you next week.
See you next week.
Bye-bye.
Bye.